It's now time for a very 1+2 edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into a friend and which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey. I'm joined by the man who tried to do an Ollie in real life and then fell and then tried to make the joke that's like, I guess that was a Nolly, but found out that Nolly was an actual thing. Basher.
That's completely untrue. I was a real life black boy growing up, and I never skated. So I tried riding a bike and fell once, and then gave up on that as well. So
I was
always a quitter.
I have a scar on my right palm from a skateboarding accident. I say accident as if it was like.
Accident? Like what? I'm about to say.
I was.
You just walking out about one night, and a rogue skateboard jumped out the bushes and got you.
It was like a Naked Gun movie. It just rolls out of the bush, and I step on it, and then there's a 3-minute scene that occurs, and then like I should have died several times, but in the end, I just fell and like scraped my hand, and it was like what? But that was
side note. Have you ever watched the movie Rubber?
I have actually. It's
about the killer tire.
So I've never finished it. I remember watching it. Came out when I was like in high school, and like I wasn't into that type of humor. I don't say yet, but like I didn't get it as much then. So I have a feeling I would assume
there was
it
nothing
now.
Humorous about it. It was a horror movie. It's a horror movie. There's nothing humorous about it. It's terrifying. It's a killer tire. Guys, watch it.
I know what you did last summer. You want to talk about a horror movie for reasons that is not scary. Yeah. That's when we're here to talk about Tony Hawk 3+4 that has hit the interwebs, that has hit the Game Pass. You might have noticed it's been a little while. This game actually came out about a month ago now. I think we're going to have to start just like taking July off because it seems like every summer, based upon where our lives are, that like we just get so far behind. But also like that normally wouldn't be a problem, right? But instead the game industry over the past like 4 years is like, what if we like start releasing stuff in summer? Because they never did that before. And now they are. So what do we...
I mean, I'm not mad at it. It's just a matter of... well, when you have like regular adulting to do, then also like... life happens. I'm like, I could play Tony Hawk 3+4, or I can enjoy myself. So I'm like, it's decisions, you know?
Fair enough. We are here to talk about Tony Hawk 3+4, but before that, did you know that you can write us a text message or shoot us a voicemail? Voicemail 574-651-9256. Now, the question is, Basher, 50% of this show, you are the other half. We have a text message about one of the large events that happened while we were slightly away, about the layoffs and the closures of Microsoft Studios. Do we want to start with that, or do we want to end with that?
We could start with that. Why not?
So before we get to Tony Hawk 3+4, let's answer a text message as soon as it loads, because I'm definitely not stalling for time. So a few things that happened in July was that it was on July 18th, I'm sorry, that's not true. It was on July 2nd. The Microsoft did a bunch of layoffs, which these are the like third or fourth round of layoffs. But this is one that hit the Xbox family a little bit harder. So that being said, the long and short version is the number one story is that the initiative, the Microsoft From Scratch studio that started in, I think, 2018. That was supposed to be like the first quadruple A. Like the idea was they're bringing back the all-star team. They got some people from Tomb Raider. They got some people from Grand Theft Auto. I think Uncharted as well. And they were going to make the ultimate game. And somehow that eventually turned into Perfect Dark. I know that wasn't the original intention of that studio, but somehow they landed on Perfect Dark. They officially announced that game in like 2022, I think, with a sizzle reel sort of trailer or a concept trailer. It was going to be some type of global... economical disaster weapon thing. They are gone, and that game is canceled. We saw that game 2 years ago. It has also come out that was basically a vertical slice, which you and I called. But that game is long gone and dead, and they are not bringing it back. Everwild from Rare has also been canceled. There was an MMO that was canceled from the team of Bethesda, and there's just been various layoffs around the the Microsoft Teams. Another big one is Turn 10 has been gutted about 50%. So the Forza franchise is also maybe taking a different stance here. So I don't know that there's anything that we can add in terms of like the, you know, that sucks for everybody, but just let's just give our opinions on, are we surprised about this? Not surprised about this? How are we feeling?
I mean, that's a good way to actually start it off. It does suck for everyone involved, you know, like people, massive layoffs just sucks in general. And unfortunately it's par for the course in a technology center in sector in general. Like everyone's getting laid off across the board between Microsoft, Google, Apple. Like they're all just doing massive layoffs. They're all throwing their rabbits in a hat for AI and stuff like that. So it's unfortunate all the way around. So it's par for the course in that regard. So it's not really surprising that the gaming industry specifically is doing massive layoffs. They've been doing this for a decade now. I mean, like you can read articles about Ubisoft and EA and THQ and just every single company, and it's just laying people off. I would say except for maybe Rockstar. I think they're kind of coasting, but I mean, for the most part, everyone is just kind of doing massive layoffs here and there. So it sucks in the sense of, you know, just people losing their jobs and in the state of the economy in general and the way the world is moving. But also, on the other hand, and I think it obviously just my opinion, but in a just way more vicious and unfortunate attack on the art form, it's also par for the course for Microsoft. Like, they tend to just, they made their billions of dollars by buying up the competition and then kind of gutting it. It's what they do, and to see them do it in the game industry, also not surprising, but it still kind of sucks. You know, like, it was very obvious from the get-go they didn't know what they were doing, and then to have them go this direction anyway, it's just the nature of the business, the nature of Microsoft. They buy things, downsize, and kind of hoard the profits, or not even the profits, but rather the
sectors, really.
The ideas. Yeah, exactly. So it does suck in that. It just sucks all the way around. And then lastly, I'll just say quickly, it wasn't going to work anyway. I mean, like especially something like the initiative. Like, the idea sounds cool on paper, but someone in those offices should have had the foresight to understand that just because you get a bunch of people from a bunch of different studios does not make one great game. What you should have done is gave them each their own smaller studio, much smaller studio, and have them make their own game that they want to make. The fact that you gave like people from Uncharted and Tomb Raider together and said, hey, make Perfect Dark. Like, do they want to make Perfect Dark? Like, it's just a weird thing, but yeah, those are my two cents.
Yeah, and it's, you and I have been talking about this for years now, and this is, you know, not to say like we told you so. It's like the initiative is an old idea that sounded good in 2018, probably, you know, pre-COVID and all that. But COVID sort of accelerated a lot of things in terms of like certain industries moving forward or moving to what was already going to happen. For instance, like the movie industry, like that, it's still sort of trying to figure itself out. But that 3 to 4 month wait between the theater and going to digital or going to streaming, that was accelerated. Like, this is just one of those things to where AAA gaming was not sustainable in general. Like, you're seeing it across the board. I mean, look at the difference between the PS3 and 4 to the PS5 with Sony, and just look at the entire Uncharted trilogy and Last of Us came out on the PS3, and you haven't gotten a new game from them since the PS4. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, and that's just the way, like, it, a lot of things have happened. So the idea of bringing all these people together to make like a super game made a lot of sense in 2018, where the industry was and where it was headed. But it was always going to fail because it's a creative process, and the more people you pump into a team, the less that creative process is going to work, unless you have a absolute top to bottom superstar set of management, which is extremely rare in any industry. So it's like, it was a lot of different things. However, the initiative also sort of took the initiative And when that wasn't working, they sort of did kind of what you said. If they had a small group of people, about 40 people, and then they hired Crystal Dynamics to help with them, you know, once they needed it, to help with the development of it. And that's, I think you're going to see that a lot more. I think you're going to see powerhouse studios that maybe don't have original ideas, but they've got the development talent that you can sort of contract as needed, instead of doing the thing that sunk 343, which was, we're going to start this game, and then when development picks up, we're just going to contract the hell out of it. And then what happens is nobody on this team is here in 12 months. And so when something inevitably fails, like, we don't have that team to get back into it and fix it, because now we've got to get the next set of subcontractors in, and that takes 3 months for them to get up to speed. And like, so there's a lot of things happening in the industry right now that are a result of everything that's happened. And what you're seeing now is that, and we're not the only ones, of just, some people are just kind of rejecting AAA games in general, and they're just like, whatever, like, I don't need the next game to be a $70 or $80, you know, super mega game. Like, I just want something that's fun. And you're seeing some games like Expedition 33, like, really take off. And it's, as always, if the content is good and it's sustainable, like, it will find a way, you know. And like, 2K just released a $50 standalone Mafia spinoff game, you know, like, so there's, things are happening. So all that is to say, super unfortunate what happened at Microsoft. I will say there's more layoffs than I expected from them. Did I believe them when they say that they bought Activision, there's going to be no layoffs? Absolutely not. Like, there was going to be layoffs. They can claim whatever they want in terms of what was going to happen, but like, there was always going to be, because of redundancy. Like, when you're a studio of that size and you buy the biggest publisher in the world, you're going to have multiple PR teams, you're going to have multiple marketing teams. Like, at some point something was going to break, or something was going to have to be done, and here we are. So on the topic of Perfect Dark, that sucks, as somebody who is, like, Perfect Dark is a staple of my childhood. I know that is probably for a lot of people, for my age especially. Like, Perfect Dark hit at a time that was really cool and really revolutionary. It was just such a different game. But other than that, like, Perfect Dark Zero is not a good game. Like, it's just not. So when they said they were making a Perfect Dark, it's like, yeah, like, I'm interested, but it's also a weird IP to sort of resurrect, I guess, because it's just, there's really only one game that people care about.
Weird at that level, because you mentioned Clair Obscur, and it's like, and we say that game is not AAA, but at this point, what is a AAA game even? Is it simply a game with a massive budget? Because Clair Obscur looks just as good as most other games out there right now,
if not better than some of them.
Exactly, it plays better for sure. You know, sounds better for sure. So, what is a AAA game at all? And when you compare that to a vertical slice of Perfect Dark, it's like, what really is the difference here? Besides
bloat,
the creative process, and
from Microsoft in particular, it's the irony is just stunning as well. It's just, you know, Phil Spencer, as usual, talking out of both sides of his mouth, like, we're gonna stop announcing projects too early, we're gonna do XYZ, blah blah blah. And it's like, you announced Perfect Dark way too early, and then you canned it, like, you just showed it off like a year ago. And so that only confirms more that game just wasn't ready, you know, or the thing that you showed was not indicative of what that game's actually going to be. But
absolutely. But then can we say the same thing about the Rare games too? Like, all these game studios are shut down. Were they just not ready? Were they just not up to par? Were they just not good enough? Like, it's an industry-wide problem, first and foremost. However, it's especially a Microsoft problem. You know, like we're not going to sit here and pretend like Sony, of all companies, has the gamers' backs and put gamers first and just loves the art of the game. It's like, they're a company just like Microsoft is. They do the same thing Microsoft does. I think, in my opinion, based off absolutely nothing, there are still enough people at a Sony, at a Nintendo headquarters meeting room that genuinely love a video game, that genuinely want to make a really great experience for people. At the same time, there's a whole lot of people who want to make another Concorde at Sony. I get that. Like, but there's still at least one person I feel like who's like, yeah, but what if we make it good? what if we do something cool? There's either no one or not enough people at Microsoft, or who has the power of Microsoft to say those type of things. Like, what if we just make a good game? Like, screw the budget, screw the time frame, what if we just give the opportunity for a developer to make a thing, you know? And it just hasn't happened. I don't think yet. Since Mass Effect, I don't think this happened.
Yeah, and it's like, it was also supposedly, I don't know if this was confirmed or not, I think it was, but it's like on Thursday, Microsoft also canceled Contraband. And that was a third-party game that was coming from Avalanche in a partnership with Microsoft. And it's like you said, like this is an industry-wide problem, but Microsoft has their hands in so many things now, and they own so much that it's like, it's a knockdown effect to where we had like 7 games canceled by them. 3 or 4 of them were publicly known. Games are canceled all the time, but not publicly known ones. Exactly. Like this is now scale-bound. And then they also, in that first round of layoffs, they laid off Tango Games, and it's like, but then they ended up just selling that. It's such a weird and ominous time, but it's also, it's like you said, there's just too many people that don't understand the industry or don't understand games enough trying to make these large decisions, and it's just sad. Like, the sky's not falling, it's gonna be fine. Like, it really sucks that everything's happening, but as usual, we're in that rotation of the cycle of AAA is kind of a mess right now. Indie's sort of surviving, but those indie teams will then eventually make bigger games, and like it's part of the cycle. But because of everything that's happened in COVID, all that, like we're feeling all of it rapidly, and that sucks. So, but to say that I'm surprised, I was a little surprised that Perfect Dark was canceled. I wasn't like shocked by any means, but just considering they had just shown that game off like a year ago, surprised.
Flat out canceled is. I expect another delay, but flat out canceled is kind of,
especially because that's an actual first party game. Contraband and Scalebound were partnerships with third parties. So, like, if the game's just not coming along and you're not happy with it and you're the main investor, like, it's a little bit different because you don't have control over that team. The Initiative is your studio. You have direct control over that team. So, like, that's kind of crazy to me. Everwild wasn't surprising because that game was announced before it was even a game. It was more of a project. So it's like, again, sometimes it just doesn't happen. Sometimes the games just don't come together. So,
and to that point, I don't want to go too long on this topic, but to that point of just kind of being the investor or a partnership type of thing and checking in, one of the very famous stories of success in that practice is the Souls genre. Demon Souls was one of those games, you know, where Sony gave money to, was it Miyazaki and company, and said, hey, we want this game, this kind of game made. Make us this kind of game. Make us this kind of setting. And I think they wanted more of a Skyrim type of feel. And Miyazaki said, yeah, we'll do that. And then Sony gave them a blank check, essentially, and then they just made something completely different. Like, they essentially lied to Sony during the entire development process, to the point where I believe they showed them, like screenshots that were not doctored, but definitely looked more to Sony's liking, and all the while just making something else they wanted to make. And Sony being Sony, and they've done this quite a few times. You've seen them done it with games like No Man's Sky, where they do a horrible job of checking in and making sure the game's coming along right. And sometimes it flops and it's terrible, like No Man's Sky. And then sometimes you get a genre-defining video game that takes over the entire, you know, medium. So, again, Microsoft just desperately needs someone near the top with enough power to make the right stupid decision.
Yeah, and it's hard when you're the leading publisher in the world, but you know, at the same time, you did that yourself. So, but all right, that's gonna do it with that topic. Let's talk about some video games. Let's talk about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3+4. Here are the details. This might be the shortest detail page ever. Get hyped for the legendary franchise to return with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 Plus 4. Floor 4. Everything you loved is back, but revamped with more skaters, new parks, gnarlier tricks, eardrum-shattering music, plus a whole lot more. I love that little... plus a whole lot more. What are those things? You'll never know. So, let's see here. This is available on Xbox Series X and S, PC, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 5 Pro, and Switch 2 of all things, but obviously on Game Pass, you will get it on PC and Xbox. Let's see here. How long to beat is 7 hours of main story, main and extras of 14 hours, completions of 26, and Tony Hawk 3 plus 4. Let's talk about it.
Were you a Tony Hawk fan coming up? Oh, yeah. Were you one of those kids who just loved the skateboarders?
So I was like peak. Like my high school experience was the Hawk brand of wear. I had Hawk shoes, and then I had Zero shirt, a Zero shirt. I had what was Muska's brand of skateboarding? But yes, no. Not only was it like a game for me, but like it was a lifestyle. So Tony Hawk 1 was an N64 game for me. Tony Hawk 2 was as well, but Tony Hawk 2 was where I started to get into skateboarding. I would say Underground 2 was probably peak for me of like right game, right time, my style, etc.
Yeah, like it wasn't part of, I don't think it was part of our culture too much growing up. Like it was, I remember us having fun with Tony Hawk, but I don't remember us like loving Tony Hawk. I mean, I think was Tony Hawk on one of the early like PlayStation demo
discs? The original was.
I think. Yeah. So like, I remember us like playing that one map over and over again. Like this is a cool game. And we followed maybe Tony Hawk proper specifically to the point where like, we watched him do a 900 and the crowd went wild and we went, right. Huh? Like, cause we just weren't skateboarders. We didn't know that was a thing that was nigh impossible to do. So I guess remember us playing a lot. So I still have to say this. I don't personally don't have any fondness for the series. In playing the remaster, I can't say I noticed a lot of the changes that were made, or if any, but I can't say that upon initial boot, like it felt clean. It felt like a legitimate remake of a game. It didn't feel janky. It didn't feel underdeveloped, undercooked. Like the fact that it loaded up with Lupe Fiasco's Kick Push,
yeah,
as the song. I'm like, oh, so like they did some updating for sure. Like, and I mean, which I guess they had to, because especially with music, licensing issues and whatnot. But that really, for me, set the mood for the game. And that first map or tutorial, it just generally felt good to me.
And so 3 plus 4 has some controversy around it, but also it's like, I guess we should preface by saying I have played probably every Tony Hawk game. I did not play 5, but that's okay. But I am not a Tony Hawk like purist or whatever. I'm that person where when that remake came out on Xbox 360, I thought it was all right. And if you say that to somebody that has played the Tony Hawk games, like they're just like, that's the, like, what are you talking about? Are you stupid? Like it's an awful version of that game. And it's, oh yeah, like really? No, and it's like, I get what they're saying, because apparently like they mess with the physics. It's apparently a lot heavier, and it's also I don't say a lot faster, but like the trick animations and things like that, like it's just, it's not really, it's a remake of that game, but it's not faithful to the core the way that it is. So somebody like me who was like, yeah, I played those games, like I really enjoyed them, I was like, yeah, this is cool, this is fun. Like I got through it and it was fine, but I'm not that person that's going back trying to get million point tricks and all that stuff. Like I never played, you know, Horse or whatever it is in in the multiplayer. Like, I just wasn't that person. So when Tony Hawk 1 plus 2 came out, I was like, yeah, this is a lot of fun. Like, this is cool. Like, it looks good. It plays good. And I will say it did feel lighter compared to that other game in terms of just, like, I had more airtime. Like, it was just a better made game and people really liked it. But then 3 plus 4 has the controversy of 3 was a traditional game of, like, 1 and 2, but 4 was the first game that ever sort of took a step into that open world aspect where you had different sort of different hub areas. And it was more like an early RPG of just kind of like, hey, like, this guy's got a task for you, go and do this task. So when they announced that wasn't happening for number 4, a lot of people were upset. And I get it, but they did, like, sort of remap or remake 4 into the more traditional 1, 2, and 3 style. And there's a couple new tracks or stages in here and stuff. So it's, for somebody like me, like you, I booted it up and I was like, yeah, like, this is, they should make a new Tony Hawk. Like, with this engine, they should make it with this team, because this team has clearly figured out, like, how to make the game feel good. I'm playing through it and I'm having a good time. Like, is my mind blown by any means? No, but I also don't have that sort of nostalgia for it in terms of, like, this was my, like, this isn't Doom for me. Like, if they released a Doom game where everything was slower or faster, like, yeah, I'd be like, what, why, what are you doing? Like, you had one job. So it was going to be interesting to see what happened with this version because of that Tony Hawk 4 controversy. So, but yeah, now that we kind of got in the intro. So what's go ahead.
That's the interesting thing to do then, because for them to update Tony Hawk 4 to have more of a progression system like Tony Hawk 1, 2, and 3, at that point, honestly, just make the new game.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, you know, like, it's, you don't need another remake of 3 and 4, in my opinion, anyway. But then again, Hawk wasn't my thing growing up. I mean, they made 4 of these games, 5.
There's like 9 of them, but yeah, anyways.
Oh, jeez. Like, so, I mean, even more to the point, like, people loved these games. Tony Hawk was a superstar when I was a kid. So just not in my household. So, I mean, honestly, at this point, I just want them to make a new game that I would probably play in their own style and vein. But at the same time, this, again, I don't know. These games are strange to me, right? Because, like, I will play 3 and 4 for probably an hour and a half straight, right? But then I'm like, I would never want to play it again. they're good games. They feel good, but I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not good at what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and I went through that Tony Hawk 1 plus 2, and I finished the first game in, you know, 4 or 5 hours. And then, like, when it was time to get to the second game, I kind of put it down and didn't get back to it for several years, I think, actually. It was like 2 or 3 years.
What do you mean by finished? Like, because in my opinion, you just rack up trip
points. You finish the goals for each level, essentially. So when you start that level and it gives you, I think it's like 10 each. And, like, so usually 4, like, half of them are the traditional pro, sick, and whatever score. Collect the skate, collect combo. And then there's usually ones that are sort of more level based of, like, in the school, like, grind these 5 picnic tables or, you know, whatever. The most iconic Tony Hawk thing, I can't remember. But when you grind over the helicopter and then, like, that opens that door, like, so it's got that sort of, like, not destructibility, but, like, that openness of finding some secrets. So it's like going through that originally, and I still remember of, like, okay, how do I get into this place? And then you discover that if you grind this thing and then you hit this thing, it causes this thing. And so, like, it has this sort of, you know, Rube Goldberg effect of, like, I've got to go through this set of events to cause this thing to happen, to cause this other thing to happen. And it was fun figuring that stuff out.
That was cool.
And so I'm actually, like, a weird one in that I don't really, I don't say mind. When Tony Hawk went open world, or whatever you want to call it, I don't know that I was for it or against it. I don't know that it really changed my opinion of the games. Like, again, Thug 2 was a more, like, Tony Hawk 4 style game, but at the same time, those games were not they're still the same games. It's just like they broke it up. Like instead of collecting skate and combo and you did some of these side stuff and you had to go and talk to somebody to start the side stuff and you didn't have to reload into the maps. Like it's a different game, but it's just the core fundamentals are pretty much the same. So when they announced that 4 was going to be more like that, I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. Like I don't really care, but people were really upset about it and they still are. And it's, even though I played 4, I couldn't tell you like how much better or worse this is than that original 4 setup in terms of the open world and all that. So like, I guess prefacing it of that saying like, I'm a Tony Hawk fan and you're even less than I am of, but we don't have that sort of deep rooted whatever for it. And so because of that, like I quite enjoyed my time with this. Like it's, I played through both of them. I didn't really have any major qualms. Like, was I blown away by anything? Absolutely not. Was it cool that I could play as the Doomslayer? Yeah. But it is those games and it's a modern version of those games. It looks great. It runs mostly great, especially on PC. So it's, but it is in fact those games, I guess.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, I think that's a really good thing, you know, like I'm trying to think of a game that would, like, if Sega put out a new Jet Set Radio or remastered the 2 in this vein, I'd be hype, you know, like I'd be like over the moon for it, and I'd be able to tell the differences and notice the updates and whatnot, and I would tell people to go play it. I could say that about this game without being a Tony Hawk super fan, without being really good at the game, even, because Tony Hawk 4 specifically, those time trial things, like as basic as what they are, like just collect the I think the skate and like under 3 minutes, like, and they're just like right there. It's really, really easy to get. Again, I'm not good at the game, so like I fail those and I put the game down forever and ever. But even then, it's like, it still plays well and it still feels like a really great update. So just by that logic, if I had any game series that did this for me, I would say absolutely go play it. Like it's a good update.
Yeah, and for me, I'm gonna try to preface this the best way that I can, and stay with me. And it's not just because it's Doom, but it's like they did that Doom 1+2 remake. And actually, no, I'll go even further. They did that Mega Man collection, Mega Man X collection, like I was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. I bought that game day one. It's also a very strange collection in similar ways of just like, it's broken into two parts, X Collection 1 and 2. And X Collection 1 is 1 through 4 and 2 is 5 through 8, which is a really, really weird way to do that, because X 1 through 4 are considered like incredible video games, with X 4 for most people, or the original, being like a clear pinnacle and changing moment for 2D action games in many ways, whereas X 5 through 8 are considered like bad games for the most part. So I liken it to that of, I got the X Collection the first day and I blew through all 4 games in an afternoon because I've played those games so many times and there wasn't anything new for me to take away from that. So I try to liken it to that of like, what if they would have taken like X 3 and 4 or something and just like changed it for the sake of, because they were different than the other games. Right. And so it's like, yeah, that would be pretty stupid. Like, I don't know why you would do that. Yeah. However, those are 2D games and these are 3D games, etc. So it's like, but to you and I, it's like, somebody that could blow through Tony Hawk 3 and 4 in an afternoon would take us a couple days, if not more, simply because we just don't have that skill built up in our head, or that, whatever you want to call it, that repetition of like, hey, I've played these games 100 times. So for people like us, I honestly think this is like super strong, like one of the stronger releases for the year. But if you've already played these games, when it comes to like being a remake,
fair enough.
It's actually not. It's not super strong in that of like, it's just kind of there. Like there's nothing that's like mind blowing about it at all. Because while they were 3D games, Tony Hawk 3 and 4 were GameCube and PS2 titles. So like, yeah, obviously it looks better now, but like they haven't really added anything to it that makes it next level, other than 4 is completely redone. But I think most would argue in a worse way. So it's interesting from that perspective.
That's an interesting take, and I don't disagree with it, honestly. I mean, for that reason you explained, I skipped a bunch of the original Sonic remakes just because I played that game 5 million times. I don't think I need to play it again. Like, the new graphics are great. That's cool. It runs better. That's fine. But I think I did it one time and that was it. Like, it just really doesn't excite
me. And it's whenever they do a new Doom release to bring it back to Doom, it's like, yeah, like I played Doom 1 plus 2 that came out last year. And while the biggest thing for that, what was incredible was the mod support. Like, they added real mod support to it and they got some of the most popular, you know, modders out there, map packs and WAD packs. And like, that was amazing for people on console because they had never seen that before. And that's what I've been doing on Doom for the past 15 years is like, I'm in that scene. I watch the mod scene. I watch the map scene. And like, there's a community around that is very tight knit and it's not huge, but it's thousands of people that are paying attention to these things, and seeing that brought to the broader audience was really cool. Like, I blew through Doom 1 plus 2, 90% of it in an afternoon because I've done it 10,000 times. But actually having something new there was actually really, really cool. And they also added in earlier this year, they added multiplayer for mod support, because originally you could do the map packs, but you couldn't play them in multiplayer. So a friend of mine and I, that's how we've been playing games lately. Like, instead of Call of Duty, we're playing map packs from Doom, and that's really neat. And it's like, if I look at Tony Hawk 3 plus 4, it's like, nope. Like, did you play those games? Okay, here they are again, and here's one in a worse way. So have fun. Like there's nothing new for people that are a huge fan of these games. So like, it's still good, but it's also extremely disappointing then at the same time. But it just depends how you approach it, I guess. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, why not just make the new game at this point?
That's, yeah.
Like, you made four of these, and you clearly got the spirit of them. You clearly got the development talent to do it.
Yeah, because it's...
Make the new game. I that would have been more hype than a remake, I feel like.
And that's... And we've barely even really talked about the game, but it's... Because you probably know what it is, but it's... You know, it plays well. You know, you're still... The grinding feels good. Manuals feel good. The levels look good. They're exactly how you remember them, except four, obviously. There's not much more you can say. Like, if you haven't played a Tony Hawk game by now, you're not going to, I feel like. There's nobody that's like, oh, what's this Tony? Like, it's strange to me. So.
That's my issue. I don't know how to talk about a Tony Hawk game because, like, to me, it's one of those games. Like, it's one of the original games, right, of all time type of thing. But it's like, it's a Tony Hawk game. You skateboard around and you do tricks. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you there. You jump and you...
It's an improvement over that one that people hated on Xbox Live Arcade because it doesn't feel like that. And that was one, like, well, I did not go back and actually replay that game. Like, I did look up videos about it because it's been a friend of mine is Tony Hawk all day long. Like, he loves Tony Hawk. Like, there's a huge modding scene of called Thug Pro on PC to where they've basically done what they should be doing for real is it's like a collection of every skater, every track, every whatever from every Tony Hawk game, and the modding community is putting it all into this engine that they've basically ripped from one of the Tony Hawk games, and they're making it all work together. That's what you should be doing. Like, you should be hitmanning this of like just making an engine, making a template that you can now just build new levels on. So sell Tony Hawk whatever 6 for Tony Hawk World for $59.99, and then just keep adding on to it, add new seasons. And like you said, it's like, that would be far more enticing to everybody of people that haven't played this before, but also who have, of finding new stuff. But also, hey, every quarter, drop one of those classic maps in there and everybody's happy, because people that haven't played it will have a new level, but people that have played it have that nostalgia. And that's, I'm with you, of like, the number one thing that I walked away from Tony Hawk 3 plus 4 was like, you guys really should just have made a new game. Like, you really should have, instead of like gutting 4 in this weird sort of way. Or why didn't you just remake 3 and sell it for $30? Like, what was with this idea of like, well, we've got to do 3 plus 4 because we did 1 plus 2. And it's like, if there's one thing that we don't have to do now, is you can do pretty much whatever you want when it comes to releasing a video game. Like, you can do it in, and like, you can do it early access. Right. The game doesn't have to be done, and you can sell it for money. Like, that's literally something you can do. So why didn't you just make a new game? Or why didn't you remake 3 and then remake 4 in its full entirety the way that it was? Why did you decide to combine it with it? Like, it's a very strange decision to make. However, I still had a good time with it. So...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, it's one of those games where I definitely had a good time with it, but that's a great point you made because the reason I put it down so quickly is because parts of the game, especially 3, started coming back to me. I'm like, oh, I remember this map. I remember these tricks. Or I remember this. And I'm like, oh. I'm kind of over it now. I get it. Like, I've been here before. So again, I would like to hear what a real Tony Hawk fan would think about these games, because as someone who just kind of played who fell in love with that demo map, and then we bought like Tony Hawk 1, 2, rented the other ones, I want to say, and then just kind of, or played them like at a friend's house and whatnot. It seems tight. Like, it seems good. It seems like they did a really good job on a remake. However, personally, I just walked away thinking this could have been. How do the industry like do it? Like, the industry likes to remake games, but just call it the same game again. This should have just been Tony Hawk Pro,
right.
Pro. Or something. It'd be his own game.
Yeah, and for that reason, like, maybe that's what their plan is, and maybe this was yet another sort of litmus test of are people interested in this, but it's going to be interesting considering Microsoft now owns Tony Hawk, so it's... My question is that was this in development before or after the Microsoft acquisition? And if it was before, it makes sense, but if it was after, why? Why did you decide to do it the way that you did? Because are you making a new game? Are you not? If you're doing this just for a cash grab, that's disappointing. I wouldn't be surprised. But if it's just to hit that nostalgia bubble, like, again, I get it. But I don't see the point of doing this unless you're trying to build something new. And that's... But then if you were, why did you do this? Why did you release it the way that you did? And why did you do what you did to 4 and all that? So it's... Yeah, so... I think it's fair to say, like, we think that you should play it, like, it passes, like, you should pass it on and have some fun yeah. with it. But at the same time, it's on its surface level, it's totally great. It's fine. But the minute you start digging deeper into, like, the quote lore or whatever, like the thought process behind this game and what it means, which is for 90% of people don't care. But for that 10% that's like interested in that, it's like, this is actually kind of weird. This is like a very weird situation, but it's good. Like, it could have been a lot worse, but I'm not going to like.
It could have been a lot worse. Pass it on to your friends, guys.
It's not bad, but it's disappointing, but you should play it. So.
This might be one of my favorite pass it on. It's like, it ain't bad, you know? Yeah. Like,
and it's totally worse, fine. Guys. So when it comes to Tony Hawk 3 plus 4, play it, unless you just like really like, people are very upset about this and 4 still. And again, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. Leaving a 1-star review for it, you're making your voice heard. However, I'd just say maybe you just shouldn't have played it at all.
Did someone leave a 1-star review?
Oh, like, that's people are just review bombing it essentially because of 4. And I will say, like, they're also like, apparently the first hotfix for the game, and I don't know if it got fixed from now, I hope it did, but like, apparently it like borked it on everything. Like, it was just crashing all the time, and it was what's wild is that the game was mostly fine at launch. Like, there was no major bugs, and they did some type of hotfix a week later or something and just completely jacked up the game from on every platform. And they claim it was an Unreal Engine thing, I believe. And I'm assuming it's fixed now because I don't see much going on past that. But it was just, again, another weird, just like, that was a weird, like, how did you do that? How did you end up like doing that? Yeah. So it's, but then there's the other question. Are they just going to remake Underground 1 and 2 next? Like, is that their play? Because those games are kind of the same. Like, you could do that. That one makes sense to put them together because they're the same game, essentially, but it's just 1 and 2. Like, it's the same principles. It's the same whatever. But all right, that's gonna do this episode. When it comes to the future, like we said, we've been playing some stuff. We took some time off because of life, so we're gonna be talking about random stuff here coming up. The far future, you know, in terms of Game Pass of what's coming out, like I think Ninja Gaiden's the only thing that's really on my radar that I'm like really looking forward to. Is there anything coming out? Oh, and Outer Worlds 2, obviously, that's another one, but those aren't till October. So is there anything coming out between now and then that you're really looking forward to, or?
No, I'm essentially surprised at the, when you send me new updates on what's coming out. I don't know what's coming out ahead of time anyway. Looking forward to Wu-Chang
Fallen Feathers.
I want to get into the Fallen of the Feathers, and then other than that, I mean, not really.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about Wu-Chang a little bit. So you played it more than I have, and we might do a dual episode. So we'll definitely be talking about that. I've been playing that Heretic and Hexen port again. I don't know that there's a ton to say about it. But that's kind of where I think we're both at. Of there's some big stuff hitting Game Pass, I think, with Wu-Chang being one of the bigger ones. But I think we're in kind of like rebuild mode of like we're playing some old stuff. I'm playing some old stuff. It seems like you're playing some non-Game Pass stuff. So we got games to talk about, but in terms of like what we're going to talk about, we don't know. So, but when you find out, we will. Or when we find out, you, whichever one of that saying is correct. All right, that's going to do this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with probably Wu-Chang Fallen Feathers.
Good day, sirs.